Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Thanks for joining us in our advanced class today. We're glad you're here with us as we talk about this article on laptops for kids. Well, you know, I think this article is getting more interesting as we go along. You know, Josh, I'm glad you're here today because you like technology, but don't you think the last part of it is easier than the first part?
Yes, it's definitely getting more fun. Hopefully you had fun with us yesterday. We learned some great words and learned that the organization OLPC is headed in the right direction.
Yes, and we're so glad that we can have Joanna with us. Joanna, you like technology quite a bit, don't you? You use it a lot?
I do, every day.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that it's good for kids to start early to do things like laptops and PCs and things?
I would say yes and no. If you are careful with what they're looking at and what they're doing and how much time they spend on it, then yes, it's a good thing. It's good to learn. But I know from myself and from seeing other kids that it's easy for them to get really obsessed really quickly with a game that's not really doing anything for them. And then suddenly they're not going outside to play and they're getting angry because they lost their game. Little things like that. Just moderation.
You have to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I've seen in every single generation where they've developed new things. For instance, as I mentioned, television. When television started, then everybody said, oh, the kids are going to be on television, they're not going to do anything else. You had to control it. Television is good, you can learn a lot, but it has to be the same way as computers. And even before that, when I was in high school, some people were just crazy about movies. They would skip school and go to movies, and their mothers and fathers would find out, and they would get punished because they wanted to go to the movies all the time. So whatever it is, it has to be controlled. Kids always like entertainment and fun. So I don't think we should restrict the fact that they do it, but we need to see how they do it, don't you?
That's right. And I think it's pretty easy to just hand your child your iPhone.
Or the TV set.
Or the TV remote control and let them,
do what they want.
Give you some peace for a couple hours. But no, we need to take them outside. We need to engage with them just as much as they want us to. If technology is your babysitter, that's certainly a problem.
Well, and that's what we're finding out as we study this article about laptops for all kids, is the fact that it doesn't answer all of the questions of the social problems and the things that people had. But we also are finding out that it is also helpful. So how can we do that? Now, there is a growing trend, and let's find out what that is today as we discuss this, as we look at our new lesson. What page are we on today? Page 20?
That's right.
On page 20. So let's read the first paragraph.
A growing trend. But a curious thing has happened as OLPC has gotten its act together. The rest of the world has caught up to, in fact, has zipped right past, Negroponte's original vision of lightweight, affordable, portable information and communications technology, transforming the lives of billions of people. In the next few years, about 7 million laptops will be distributed to children by governments in Latin America alone. The Intel World Ahead program has distributed about 5 million Classmate PCs, both netbooks and tablets, in 70 countries, paired with software, connectivity, and support programs. In Mexico, Carlos Slim's personal foundation announced a donation of 250,000 XOs in 2007. Recently, the foundation has expanded its efforts by offering computers from Dell and Lanix, a Mexican manufacturer.
A growing trend. Well, what is the growing trend? What are we going to discuss today?
Well, it says a curious thing has happened as OLPC has gotten its act together, which is a great idiom. Just means that it has changed its ways and solved some of its problems.
Okay? It's good to get your act together. Sometimes when you're doing something and you're not being very effective, somebody might say, well, get your act together. You know, you're not really doing a very good job. We've heard that idiom. You've heard that before, haven't you, Joanna?
From my mother, man.
Yes, get your act together. Let's get going what you're supposed to do. But the rest of the world has really caught up to his idea. When he started that, people weren't into it. But now they've zipped or they've gone right past his original vision. And what was his original vision again in line 5?
Well, his vision was to have lightweight, affordable, portable information and communications technology transform the lives of billions of people.
Now, that sounds like a good vision, doesn't it, right there?
It's a fantastic vision that, yes, that we can put technology in the hands of people at the bottom of the pyramid, as we said in the first day, people in the most need, that need communication and information because knowledge is power.
Well, in the next few years, it says about 7 million laptops are going to be distributed to children by the governments in Latin America alone. And I know they're doing it in China. They're doing it every place, aren't they?
That's right. So we're learning that other organizations, not OLPC, are actually making progress and getting computers out to kids faster than OLPC could do.
What is one of them that's mentioned in line 10?
Well, Intel World Ahead program, that's one of them. And they've distributed about 5 million Classmate PCs, which are netbooks and tablets, in 70 countries.
And I read about this. Negroponte actually had a pretty open battle with Intel. He asked them not to do this program, to put aside the Classmate PC, which was their own version of an inexpensive laptop, and just partner with him. But they didn't want to. They wanted to give him some money and do their own thing, and it looks like they've had success with it.
Well, so they've had this in 70 countries, it says, and then they put it together with the software. Now, if you have an iPad or a netbook or a little computer, whatever it is, and you don't have any programs on it, it doesn't do you any good. You have to have the right programs for your country and your language, don't you?
Yes, and that was a big problem, as we learned in the first day of our lesson, that there was a shortage of developers that were creating software, creating programs to teach kids about math and music and art. This idea of a netbook or a tablet or even a mobile phone certainly wasn't something that Negroponte was going to think about in 2005 because they weren't out there.
Right.
But now they do make a lot of sense, don't
they?
That's
true.
Something much lighter, easier.
Right.
They can focus on just a couple of programs and don't have to be bogged down.
They don't
down.
Have to have so much things that you need on a regular. But also it talks about connectivity and support programs. What if you have one and you need to have wireless or the web or something and you don't have connectivity? They're not too useful then either, are they?
Nope.
Not really, no. The internet, in the end, helps a lot. For as much as it hurts, it helps a lot.
Right. You can get you want to look up something, you don't have to go to the library. You can look it up there. And even if you want to know the temperature today, I used to go turn on TV. Now I just look at my cell phone in the morning, see what I should wear.
Yep.
Instead of turning on the TV. I mean, it's so convenient, isn't it?
Well, I think about my little problems like, okay, internet, I don't have lemon juice. What can I use to substitute for my recipe? What if someone in a third world country has the internet and has a question of my child's very sick? Let me type in the symptoms and see what can I do to help my child. It's the same thing, going to the internet to solve a problem that you're having right then and there.
Right. You really need to be connected.
So yeah.
Connectivity, I think, is a big problem. Do you think they have good connectivity all over the world?
Oh, definitely not.
No.
No, I've read places where the internet is passed around by a guy on a bike driving from village to village. And the closer he gets to your village, the better the internet signal.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, that's really too bad. And then support programs which have to do with where do you get it repaired, and there's a lot of things, how to teach you how to use it. So there's a combination of things. Now, what happened there in Mexico?
Well, we learn about Carlos Slim in line 14, and he is the world's richest man. As of the end of 2012, he had surpassed Bill Gates, and he has a personal foundation, and he's just announced a donation of 250,000 EXOs in 2007 and expanded that effort by offering computers from Dell and Lanix, which is a Mexican manufacturer.
I wonder if he's given iPads out now, because they're even smaller, cell phones
sure
or whatever,
are.
Right? So people who do have money are trying to help out. But there's a lot of things to consider, to think about this. It's a growing trend, and things have changed since they first started this, as you mentioned. I think that's the main thing to remember about this section. Anything else we want to remember about this first paragraph?
Well, I just think that Negroponte's vision was correct. It might have just been a little early.
Yeah.
And that now that technology has advanced in such a way that certainly he's inspired organizations like Intel, like Carlos Slim, and Microsoft and Dell, who are bringing the vision to life, but in a different way than one laptop per child.
It's true. And he really needed to learn to pay a little more attention to the details and the marketing. So he needed help with his vision. And there's nothing wrong with that. People do need help with their visions. Well, let's take the next section over here and what it says might happen on that. Let's read the last paragraph for today.
Meanwhile, it may turn out that laptops or even tablets will be a mere footnote in the technological education of the developing world. There are already 6 billion cell phone subscriptions for the world's 7 billion people, and observers like Ann Nelson, who teaches at Columbia School of International and Public Affairs, believe that SMS is the real technology to watch. She points to programs such as the BBC's Bangla Janala, which teaches English through text messages. So what, finally, will be the legacy of OLPC? Mike Best, editor of Information Technologies and International Development, credits OLPC and Negroponte with starting the conversation about the need for low-cost, low-power computing. But, he says, in the end, computers are the easy part. The hard thing is the humans. Putting technology into the hands of the citizens of the developing world will get easier and easier. Leveraging those tools for real change is another story.
So we begin this section by talking about the laptops or even these tablets that we have might be what we call just only a footnote. Now, a footnote is not the most important text. It's just something to explain something. It's not the answer. When you say merely a footnote in technological education, it's only a little part of it. It's not the main thing.
No, it's the laptop is the main part of our article to this point, but now we're saying that things are changing, and things are changing fast, especially in the developing world, because people are using phones
what
instead of computers.
What does it say about that?
Well, it says there are already 6 billion cell phone subscriptions for the world's 7 billion people. I believe that.
Did you believe? I didn't know there's that many. Did you?
That is pretty incredible.
Almost everybody seems to be pulling out a cell phone, even in some of these underdeveloped countries. Isn't that right?
When I was staying in Nepal, nearly everyone my age had a cell phone. I mean, it was probably this really cheap off-brand thing, but texting was the thing girls my age did. Not computers, not Facebook, not all these other things that I'm used to doing, but texting, SMS, was everywhere.
And Nepal is kind of a poor country, too, that, you know, we'd think they wouldn't have that. But they did texting, right?
They did. Even out in the villages, they did.
Well, just think of that.
So they're not on the internet with these phones, is
no,
what you're saying.
No, just basic texting, yeah.
So the flip phone still lives.
Mm-hmm. Alive and well.
Well, this Ann Nelson, she teaches at Columbia School of International Public Affairs. What does she say, Josh?
Well, she believes that the SMS, which is the acronym we all know of texting, short message service, is the real technology to watch, not the laptop.
Do you think so?
I think so. I think that this early phase of mobile, people are more comfortable communicating and learning through their phone than they are pulling out a laptop. And the tablets are certainly convenient, but they're expensive.
I think that there's so many millions and millions of people who are so very, very poor that a laptop is still too giant of a step for them quite now. It's easier and more accessible to hand them a phone and get them going through that, I think.
And it has several uses. I mean, it's amazing. Every time some company puts out a new phone, about every half a year or so, they always have some new feature they didn't have before. But, you know, sometimes you'll do your email on your phone because you're someplace, and you'll text message somebody, and you'll look up information. It seems like you just pick up your phone, and it's handy, and you use it when you're outside a lot, do you?
That's right. And the big phone companies are looking at the flip phone market and saying, how low of a price can we make a smartphone, a phone that does have internet access and some minimal programs? What's the lowest we can make one of those and sell to that market too? So I think you're going to go back to Nepal later this year, Joanna, and see some of those folks using smartphones.
That would impress me, yeah.
Yeah, that
I'd like to see that.
Well, and you can do Skype on it. You can just do, instead of going home and wait till you get home and turn on your computer, you can talk to your friends on Skype any place in the world.
Yep.
There's so much you can do on them now, isn't there?
I think countries like that who are still developing, they've utilized different technologies that we take for granted, and they're able to turn them into their own special uses. When I wanted to call home, I went to an internet cafe and I used their version of Skype. That was how I did it. It wasn't international calling, and it was so affordable, too.
Mm-hmm. They do. They use that. Well, in fact, that's why the BBC's program is quite interesting. Now, BBC already has a very good English teaching program. If you want to find it, you can find it on there. But there's one program that's called Bangla Janala, and I thought, what a funny name. Where did they get that from? And I found out when I looked it up why it's called Bangla. Why is it called that?
Well, it's because it was built for the Bangladesh community.
So that's Bangla from Bangladesh. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I found that out when I was just studying for this lesson. I learned something new. That's where they got it from, because it's for Bangladesh. So that's why they call it that funny name.
Yeah, and it's been around for 4 years now, providing affordable education to the Bangladeshi-speaking community.
And they teach English through text messages. You have to check that one out.
I should check it out.
Yeah,
it sounds interesting.
It is interesting. You can find it on the web. So then what is going to be the legacy of this company that says for laptops for everybody, for all the kids? What is their legacy? What's going to happen from that?
Well, it's a good question. When you think about your legacy, you think about how your organization or your family will be remembered in the future. Maybe after you've moved on or left the company, how will it be remembered?
And so this Mac Betts, he's the editor of something called Information Technologies and International Development. That's a big name, but it's a big subject. Well, what does he say about it?
Well, he credits OLPC and its founder, Nicholas Negroponte, with starting the conversation about the need for low-cost, low-power computing.
Okay. I mean, starting the conversation means with the idea. They're the ones that put forth this idea. They started the subject, not really a conversation, so to speak, right?
Well, he was out talking about it a lot on
right.
a lot of shows, but right, when we just say introducing a subject to someone, you can say you got the conversation started.
And here's what they talked about. Three things. What? Low cost.
He says it's low power.
And computing. So he started talking about that. But what else did he say, Joanna?
He says, in the end, computers are the easy part. The hard part is the humans.
Hmm.
Now, that's pretty interesting.
That is.
What does he mean by that?
Well, the computers, of course, are made up of plastic and microchips and software, and it's pretty easy to put that together at a low cost. The hard thing, especially for Negroponte, was dealing with people and all the different stakeholders, we could say, which were the different groups that he had to deal with to get his vision accomplished.
Well, and another thing, the hard part of once you get these things is to let humans use them in the right way to do the things they're supposed to. You can give them this, but then they still have to find the right ways to use them. They need teachers to teach them. So just the thing itself is not enough.
No.
This is like what we were saying in the first day about complex social situations. It's not an issue of a child being too poor to afford a computer, so you give him one. Why is that child poor? Why is that child still poor? Why haven't they gotten richer when we gave them food, gave them money, you know, gave their parents a job, all these different things. It's very complex.
And right. He's doesn't solve everything.
No,
right.
A computer will help, but it won't solve.
And I learned that lesson in my previous job building websites. We would build a website or software, and then we would do a focus group where we would ask people to come in and we would film them using it, using the site. And we'd say, click around. Let's see how you perform a couple of functions or visit the site. And we were always surprised how people used it. Until you see it in action, you can't exactly picture how something's going to be used.
Well, that's why that last sentence, that's what you're talking about, Josh. It says, leveraging these tools for real change is another story. You can give people things. Are they going to use them for good or for bad? You can even use them to be criminals if you want to. I mean, yep. You can use them for anything, just like the web. But you have to say how we can use these tools to make progress, to learn, to get a better living standard. I think Joanna gave a good example when she said maybe somebody in a remote area can say my child is sick and give them find out what the disease is. Now that is leveraging it for good, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's very powerful when you use it to learn more about the situation you're in right there and then.
Right. So I think that's what we need to do. Give them the tools, show them how to use them for good, teach them, and that's a big job.
That is.
Right. So I think we have a little skit about this, so we'll have that first before we do our final wrap-up.
Welcome to another edition of Advanced Technology Today. I'm your host, Skip Fax, and today we look back on the one laptop per child idea launched by MIT professor Nicholas Negroponte. Joining us once again with his valuable insight is tech guru Rick Database.
Always good to be here, Skip.
Okay, Rick, here's the question. Negroponte's idea, failure or success?
That question is actually too simplistic, Skip. You're a high-profile journalist. You should know better. Put some thought into this.
Okay, Mr. Tech Guru. How would you evaluate the legacy of Nicholas Negroponte's idea?
Much better question.
I'm relieved that you approve.
I would dub OLPC as an incomplete success. It didn't create the utopian digital villages that Negroponte may have envisioned, but it was more like the planting of digital seeds in places that had no fruit, you know? Like apples or HTC mangoes.
Wow, your answer is almost poetic.
That's just a different side of me, Skip. I'm not always technical. I can be sensitive sometimes.
Negroponte has stepped aside and ceded control of the not-for-profit organization he founded to Rodrigo Arboleda. What impact has that had?
Well, they have gotten their act together. It's quite typical for a visionary, a dreamer, to create an idea or project, but often those people are poor administrators. Arboleda brings management skill to the job that Negroponte lacks. It's a natural progression for the group.
Sounds like things are looking up for this idea. Rick Database, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Skip.
And we'll see all of you here next time on Advanced Technology Today.
Well, is that it?
Pretty interesting.
Well, what do you get out of that skit?
Lots of energy.
Lots of energy. Thank you, Bill. Yeah. Anyway, it is true that we have to really learn how to use this technology. Isn't that right?
That's right. And we said that – I think we all agreed that technology in the hands of children has a lot of positive aspects but requires – some adult supervision to come alongside and ensure it's used the best way.
Do you agree, Josh, that it's good for kids to start these things when they're young, though?
I do, yes. I think I've put an iPad in both my kids' hands right around 2 years old, and I think they've benefited from it.
If you didn't put it in their hands, they probably would have got it from somebody else's hands
yes.
Nowadays, right? What do you think, Joanna?
Well, I love hearing stories from other sources about how kids and teenagers in poor countries learned different skills on their own just with the use of a computer, learned how to do this sort of thing, and now they're very smart and they're able to put themselves through school. I like hearing those stories, and I feel like thanks to these sorts of organizations that we just talked about, maybe in a few years we'll be hearing even more of those stories of kids who learned very, very basic computer skills and then took what they had and started exploring.
Yes, I think that these people's vision was good, and they've really tried very hard. And they know this has really made a big change already in the world. So we're thankful for these people that had the vision. And we also have to do what we can in our area, wherever we are, to help the poorer people. Every country has those who are not as fortunate, the underprivileged, and help them have these facilities. But also we have to have teachers to teach them the right way, show them how to use them.
That's right.
So thanks for being with us on this program. I think we've learned a lot, discussed a lot of things, and we hope that you'll enjoy all of the lessons that we have for you in advance. If you have some subject you'd like to talk about, just let us know, and we'll try to put it on the program.
That's right. Send us a letter or visit us on our Facebook page.
So thanks for being with us today, everyone, and thank you for our panelists, for Josh and Joanna. And everyone, big hand. You stayed in the whole program. Thank you. Say goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.